Hi, my name is John.
And my name's Chris.
And this is Stay on Target.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Stay on Target. I'm your host, Chris.
And I am your host, John.
You can find us on Twitter at ChrisWright250.
And JohnWright777.
I don't know why I'm talking in this very epic voice.
We've got lots of cool things on Twitter.
We've been watching movie trailers.
The Twitternet.
The Twitternet.
Yes.
The Twitternet.
The Twitternet.
Go on the Twitternets and look us up. So on this episode, we're talking about Star Wars. We're talking about the Star Wars Episode 7. Rumors involving that. Casting rumors. Lots of other rumors. Pictures, photos. Things like that.
I don't know what I'm doing.
This is ridiculous. So anyway, we're going to talk about that a little bit later. So what was supposed to happen was this was supposed to be the week that we went and saw Wolf of Wall Street.
But it got moved.
First they moved Jack Ryan, and then they moved Wolf of Wall Street into Jack Ryan's place. And so because they're obviously going to be similar movies.
The same crowd's going to go see the one that goes to see the other.
I seriously doubt that. But that's what they did anyway. So we were left with a hole in our November movie month.
And so we're talking Star Wars, some of the best movies ever.
Yes, yes.
Well, some of them.
Yeah.
50% of them.
Yeah. Well, what? I don't know.
50% of the six that are out.
We will debate.
Okay.
But first,
it's time for the news!
The news! All right. So we have, okay, obviously the big news right now is that the PS4 has now released.
Right, yeah, I mean, and so we were at GameStop on the night that all happened.
Actually,
it'll be tonight.
Like, you're listening to this, it's already released, but we're recording this, and it's about to release in about an hour and a half.
Yep, and there were people that were standing there, like, they were standing in line to like, sign their names on the list for, like, a couple hours.
Yeah.
And they'd been waiting out there for hours, and they were just waiting in line to wait in line later on in the night as well.
Yeah, so, like, stay warm, everyone. And yes. Stay safe.
And
don't play with knives.
And make sure you enjoy those PS4s whenever you get them.
Exactly. So we hope to have a review of the PS4. We will work with one of our affiliates. No, one of our friends. Hopefully, Derek.
Yeah.
And have him review the PS4 for us. But like, we want it to get out there. We want people to spend time with it.
Yeah, you know, we want to make sure none of the HDMI ports are broken.
Yeah, apparently that's one of my news items for today. So a lot of the preview versions of or not versions, preview, not even preview. They're the first retail units of PS4.
Yeah, they're the ones that people won in the
Taco Bell
$5 box.
Kotaku had one, IGN had one, and their HDMI outputs like break.
And so Sony came out with an announcement, and which, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this pans out, because this quote could be anything, but they said the faulty units represent less than, or like represent 0.04% of our retail units shipped worldwide.
Right.
And I wonder if that's shipped, like, because there's like, you know, the majority of their units are sitting in GameStops right now, just sitting there. No one's using them yet.
Yeah.
So we don't know if they're broken yet.
Yeah.
We'll find out in
a little bit.
So I don't know if that just means like the amount that they had out there that people were already playing, or if that meant all of the units shipped. So anyway, we'll find out.
Yeah. I have like actually a lot of game news. Marvel Lego. I about said Marvel Lego Star Wars. No,
that'd be an interesting game.
Lego
the Hulk takes on Darth Vader.
Marvel
Darth
Lego Vader superheroes wins. Has been delayed for Xbox One only. Like, what's interesting about this?
Why?
Is developers are having problems with the Xbox One.
Man, I hope they figure that out.
Yeah.
I wonder what it is about the Xbox One that it is.
This seems like a larger problem, because we have, and I'll talk about this something in a second, but like, we have Call of Duty Ghosts running at 720p versus 1080on PS4. We have Battlefield running at 720 on Xbox One versus 900.
The very odd 900.
Yeah, on PS4.
On PS4.
We have Titanfall is rumored to be running only at 720. On Xbox One, which that one, like, we can take that one with a grain of salt, because that's still like 3 months from releasing,
right?
And they're in, like, that could change, but
So, I mean, this is a universal problem with the Xbox One, and is it? I wonder what it is about it. If it's the hardware, or if it's the interface, like if it's all the stuff that the operating system.
I mean, it's worrisome. You know, like okay, so you know something that doesn't necessarily like these games. It just means that developers are having a hard time with it now,
right?
On making it run comparable to the PS4, I think. It can, obviously, like the tech specs are there.
Right.
Computers are running 1080 output, like with the same specs. Like these are basically both PCs. The only difference is the RAM.
Right.
And like you can do the, I mean, I don't know. Like it seems outrageous. Maybe the UI or in the operating system is taking up so much of that.
Right.
That.
Well, I know it takes up. I know I saw the statistic that it takes up, you know, 500 megabytes on the Xbox One, and I want to say it takes up maybe 300. I think it was what it was on PS4. So I mean, it's like that's not much of a difference,
right? I mean, it is worrisome, you know, just for you know the sake of
next gen gaming.
Yeah, like are half of gamers or whoever buys an Xbox One. Are they going to be playing games at a lower resolution for the life of this console? I can't see that being acceptable, and that's not something that I think that Microsoft
would let happen. I mean, they wouldn't let somebody beat them out on something like that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea. Like, we'll see what the sales numbers come out to, and we'll see how this performs over the next year, and if this ends up being a big deal, because this could just be the first slew of games. Like these games were like this development started on these games at least 2 years ago.
Right.
Whenever we didn't even know the tech specs for these current gen consoles or next gen consoles. And so we don't know like, you know, how far in the development cycle they got these. Like, you know, I don't know.
Or even how they were changed after they got the first initial box, you know, that sort of thing.
But I think, you know, like games like Lego Marvel Superheroes, like, you know, just the fact that it's being delayed only for one system means they're having problems porting it to this system and making it run like the others.
You know, and it might be an operating system thing, might be that type of thing. But developers, like you said, are definitely having trouble doing them. I remember that Peter Molyneux said during, I forgot which one it was, I think it was the Xbox One reveal. Basically, he said that what's interesting about these consoles is you hear about the initial specs of them and things like that. He's like, but then if you get in there and you have less to work with than you really thought you did in the end, he's like, you know, these console transitions can be pretty cumbersome for developers who thought they had more than they had to work with. So who knows? Maybe that 200 megabytes actually does mean quite a bit to those guys. So.
Right, right. We have some, like, this has been out there for a while, actually since the beginning of the month, but we didn't talk about it. The CW is adapting DC Comics' Hourman for television.
Yep. I don't know that this is going to tie that much into the universe that people are building, that sort of thing. It might.
I hope
it
does. Like, that's what they need to do. They need to continue on the track. I mean, I could see, like, especially with it being on the CW, I don't see it not intertwining with Arrow in some way.
You know, and I definitely think they would be wise to do that, especially if they're gonna, you know, then develop a Flash or something like that. So,
and if you guys check out Arrow or watch Arrow, we do a podcast every single week called Arrow on Target that you should check out.
Yep.
You can find links to it on stayontargetpodcast.com.
Absolutely.
We also have several Marvel TV shows and miniseries coming to Netflix.
Yep.
Starting next year.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty awesome.
We're going to get a show based on Daredevil, based on another one on Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, and Luke Cage, along with another miniseries. So, I mean, this is crazy. Like, Marvel's just going nuts now.
They're pushing all in, man. I mean, they've got all the cards, I feel like. They've got this big hit on their hands.
Yeah.
They've got this big joined universe that everyone is sold on, especially with the success of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
I mean, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is just kind of getting better in my mind, like better and better now. So I don't know. It's like, it's something that I feel like they're pushing all in on, and I'm totally okay with it. I love the idea of having all these shows out there. I like everything Marvel kind of does. So
yeah, for sure. I mean, I honestly think that, you know, like this big push, this is, you know, all within phase two of their overall story. And I think we're building toward Avengers 2. I think like this is all like gonna come to a head, I think, in Avengers 3. Like I could see every single hero ending up in Avengers 3, like television heroes, everything.
Right on. I could see that as well. I think that what we're, I don't know, there's lots of things that are going on in the universe, and we've only got Guardians of the Galaxy and Avengers 2 slated right now to come out. And so my thing is Guardians of the Galaxy, they've said that that really doesn't have much to do with the core universe of Marvel characters. They say that that's kind of going to kind of be on the outskirts of the universe out there just to show, hey, this is in the same universe, but there's these other things that are going on. And so I don't know, we need to wrap this back around to the main universe in Avengers 2. So I think you're probably right that we're not looking at Avengers 2 as the big buildup. We're probably looking at Avengers 3 or something of that sort.
Yes. Well, we have some sad news now. Should cue taps. Yes. Blockbuster has died. They rented out their last movie.
Really?
This is the end.
So it's like they're not even doing like the Redbox thing anymore.
Redbox box.
Like they had these Blockbuster boxes.
Right. No.
They were like the blue box.
Yeah, like the Blockbuster Primary stores. The only guys. Blockbuster stores that are left are franchise owners are allowed to keep the name. But as entities, which this, okay, first of all.
I didn't even know there were still, like, there were still stores going.
That was my response. I was like, I didn't even know there were still Blockbusters around.
This isn't that sad to me. I'm not like, tearing up or anything.
The last video that they rented out, however, is this is the end.
Really?
In a last bit of irony.
That's strange.
Purposeful irony.
Okay, so wait, did the person then return it, or had they closed by the time that person returned it?
That's a very...
Basically, if you guys have any Blockbuster films still in your possession,
yeah,
keep them.
Just keep them.
Just keep them.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Don't go pay your late fees. Just keep them.
But, you know, like, this is, like, it's kind of like, okay, this is a final end of an era. Like, there are still video stores around. Like, I think around here we have Family Video.
Maybe one or two.
Yeah, and so...
Well, and Hastings, I think, and things like that do some video rentals
true.
And
I mean,
stuff.
But still, like, as we know it, like, the movie store is just like, that's no more.
Yeah, I mean, it's all Redbox or digital. If you've got, like, a smart TV or Apple TV or, like, an Xbox or something.
Right.
Like a PS4,
I mean, you know,
PS3.
Like, and even whenever you're browsing through things, like, on, you know, on your... either your cable box or your satellite provider or Xbox.
It's pretty, like, limited selection to the newer films, right? I mean, they have marketing towards
everything's
those.
There, but, like, you know, it's just harder. Like in a movie store, you, like, you could walk up and, like, man, this box looks awesome. You turn it around, you read the synopsis, like, this movie sounds amazing. Take it home, and it's like, I would never would have watched this movie if I hadn't picked it up, you know. And I just kind of miss that browsing.
So
through.
You judge movies by their cover?
I do judge movies by their cover. Often. Not all. I mean, you know what I mean.
Yeah,
you know,
no, like, I totally know.
You look at the back of the movie and it's like, man, this is great. Or, like, the other cool thing was, you know, they'd always have all these newer release movies on sale after they
right.
had done written them out. For
Or previews of other movies. Like, you know, you pick up one of those old movies and then you see a preview for another old movie and you're like, I'm going to go do that one. And it's like a lot of the digital stuff. Do they have previews and things?
No.
Yeah, I mean, you're just basically watch the movie. You know, that's it's somewhat sad. I just think we're going into a digital realm and they're gonna have to find a way to market to us digitally.
Yeah. Seth Rogen actually tweeted about it. He said the last movie ever rented from a Blockbuster was This Is the End. In high school, I would go hang out at Blockbuster every day. You know, and that's just a large part of, like, the way that,
yeah,
like, we grew up. Like, that's where you saw your movies.
Yeah, that's where, I mean,
the theater,
like,
or at the movie store.
Yeah, I mean, it was all about, especially the classic films. You know, like, I mean, if you didn't catch them on, you know, the day after Thanksgiving or something like that on cable somewhere, it's you saw them all at the video store.
Yeah.
So
it's a sad day.
Man.
Everyone take a moment of silence.
I do remember all those late fees, though. I remember, like, sometimes,
yeah,
like,
was the worst.
Someone else would have caused a late fee on your account, and you had to pay their late fee before you could rent something. It's like, no!
That's why you don't give your Blockbuster card out,
yeah,
and share,
you know,
it.
That's why you don't have a family one. You know, you,
yeah,
have your individual.
So Kevin Smith has seen the new bat suit, and he says it is mind-bending, and he immediately gave Zack Snyder a hug.
So listen, we are way farther along in this thing than anybody initially thought.
Well, we already knew that. I think we talked about that
a few weeks ago. Yeah, but it's like, I didn't realize that we were at bat suit level.
We are.
You know?
And he will confirm it has no nipples.
That's good. That's a good thing.
That is a very good thing.
The Hopefully bat it has suit room for them, though. Hopefully it has room for them.
Nope, you cut your nipples off. before you get into the suit.
Man.
It's something you give up.
That's hardcore. That's hardcore. I don't know. No, that's something that a bat suit shouldn't have. Like, that's
not at all.
Like, what in what world did we think that that was, like, normal? So,
right.
I wonder what it's going to be. If it's, like, I mean, obviously, probably not spandex, you know?
Yes.
We're not looking at, you know, spandex or Adam West or anything like that. So.
Right, which is good. Yeah, I mean, I've had discussions with people, like, they want, like, we want to go all the way back to, like, you know, a more, like, cloth-based, like, leather-based thing.
I don't.
No, that's terrible. That's a terrible idea.
Like, I mean, you're just going to see, like, bad guys just with knives being like,
it's entirely unrealistic.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see. He said it's unlike anything we've seen in the movie so far. So
that kind of worries me.
What does that mean?
I don't know. It kind of worries me. Because I don't want it to go the way of Cyborg.
Is it made of sugar? Is it an edible costume? Is this a very kinky Batman? That's the question.
Basically, what I envisioned was a giant gummy bear. He slides into this giant gummy bear suit. And I'm Batman.
I'm gummy Batman. So, yeah. But hey, if you haven't... Okay, so this is what reminds me. This reminds me of... earlier we watched Bat Dad. It was just hilarious. I'll link to that in the
Haven't seen Bat Dad, then check it out on the website.
Yes.
and laugh a lot.
Yeah, stayontargetpodcast.com.
And also, speaking of Batman, the Lego Movie,
dude, have you seen that thing?
That trailer's awesome. It's coming out next year.
Okay,
it blew my mind. I didn't even know this was happening.
I didn't either, really. Like, I'd heard like they were making something, and then given it a second thought. Like, most of the time, like, you think of Lego, you just like, man, this is gonna be terrible.
Like, or it's gonna be like one of those, like, a made for TV film, or like,
right,
a straight to video, that
right,
sort of thing.
Like, Lego, except for the games, has never been known for this is like quality entertainment.
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember a single Lego movie where it was like, look, you should see this movie.
Right, but this thing looks amazing. I'll link to this too.
Yeah.
StayOnTargetPodcast.com in the show notes of this podcast.
Check it out. Batman shows up.
Yes, Batman shows up, and it's hilarious.
And it's Will Arnett, too.
It's Will Arnett as Batman.
Hilarious.
Yeah, so like, I think he's going to be the standout of that movie.
Yeah. So, Chris.
Yes.
You're holding something pretty awesome in your hands right now.
I am.
And this is news, because it's a Xbox One controller.
It is an Xbox One controller.
It could have been anything.
I could have said
Chris has an elephant in his hands right now.
I don't think it's any surprise to the fans of the podcast that we're both getting Xbox Ones.
That's true.
Over PS4s. We've chosen that path, and come what may.
I feel like it was chosen for me to a certain extent. I feel like it was destiny.
It was fate.
Yes, it was fate, because I had an Xbox 360. I am now getting an Xbox One,
and that's what I think will drive a lot of the sales.
And the market's split 50-50, really.
Right.
To be honest with you, and so, like, I mean, I don't know. I feel like both consoles are going to tie. I don't know.
I mean,
that's my thought.
Yeah, I mean, it just kind of depends on, like I said, over the next year, like, what happens. Like, this is they're in it for the long haul. This is not a sprint. This is a race, and
like a marathon race.
Yeah, they're going to be vying for our attention. Like, you know, for instance, I think Microsoft has decided they're going to be a little more competitive with PlayStation Plus. In PlayStation Plus, you get free games every single month.
Yeah.
For all of your PlayStation devices. Xbox has been doing the Games for Gold program on Xbox 360. They today released that they're going to expand that to Xbox One in late 2014.
Late 2014?
Yeah, it said late 2014. We'll get more details.
Okay.
Well, I mean, basically, like, right off the bat, we don't
have...
No
games.
Yeah, there's really no games available on Xbox One.
Right.
And so they're not going to offer any of them for free. I mean... That makes sense to me.
No, it totally makes sense.
And the fact that they're doing it at all, like, that's awesome. Like, good for them. Like, this is the thing. I'm very glad. Yeah, I'm pro competition. I'm very glad that PlayStation forces Microsoft to do these things. Sony forces them to do these things.
Yeah.
Like, competition makes both systems better.
This is
why the PS4 is so competitive, is because they got beat last generation. And so they're coming out of the gate, and they look like the leader right now, for sure. And It's just good. It's good for everybody involved.
Yeah, it's good for gamers. No matter what happens, it's good for gamers. If you want to check out our first impressions, this isn't the first time you've held a controller.
No.
And if you guys want to check out the first impressions, make sure you post that video. Our first impressions of the Xbox One.
Yeah,
video.
We went to the Xbox One truck tour. I'll post that again in the.
We
article.
Talked about it. We talked about. We had all the full interviews on the podcast a couple weeks ago as well. So make sure you can check that out as well. Go back a couple weeks and check that out.
Yep.
That's the news.
So on to our main segment. We are we're talking about Star Wars Episode 7. There's been lots of rumors going up. There's some crazy news right now that's happening in the United States. There are terrible covers of this music happening right now. I especially like the spitting, the semi-fart noises in the middle of this. Oh man.
I wish I could keep a straight face right now and do it.
So we're well on our way. Like we're having there's another Star Wars coming. You should stop now. that's enough of that.
Okay. Yeah, dude, another Star Wars. This is well on its way. Like there's open casting calls all across the nation. There's even one in Nashville later this month.
Yeah. So like if you are what was it?
Between the ages of 18 and 23, which is a wide range in my mind.
Male and female.
Male and female. Yeah.
They are looking for you.
What's weird about these roles, like the descriptions, they give these in-depth, like where it's like, her parents are dead. And it's like initially I was wondering if we were going to be dealing with like Han and Leia's children, which I hope not, because then Han and Leia potentially might be dead.
Well, let's talk about a couple of casting things, and we'll kind of like talk about the plot for a second. So like very early on, it was, I thought, semi-confirmed that Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher and Harrison Ford were all going to be in the movie.
Correct. Like, they semi-confirmed this, but then, like, recently Harrison Ford has said that was never the case.
And that, you know, and then there was a rumor, like, I think we talked about this at one point, that he finally like, signed on, but, like, he wanted, like,
some
like,
movement on
Indiana
a new
Jones
Indiana
stuff.
Jones movie. Yeah. Like, it's so, just crazy.
Who knows? There was a rumor that Chewbacca was going to be in it.
I can't do the Chewbacca thing. I'm sorry.
I think the fear among fans of the expanded universe is that they're going to ignore it. Because, spoiler alert for the expanded universe, but Chewie dies early on after the original trilogy in the expanded universe. So if he is in this, then it kind of just takes that away.
Okay, so here's my theory, and here's my thought about all of that whole situation. I love the expanded universe. The expanded universe has some incredibly like detailed, really good stories, and really good elements to it. But I don't necessarily want to hold these guys to the expanded universe because here's my thing. It's like George had the idea for 7, 8, 9. He had concepts for them. He said he had 9 films essentially concepted. And if we're running off of something that he's concepted, this preempts any expanded universe stories that have been told. And so it's like I don't mind taking elements from, you know, the expanded universe and holding on to those, but it's like if they keep some things from the expanded universe and, you know, ignore others, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, but see, this is the thing though. Like I'll just play devil's advocate from you know, the other perspective now.
Right.
Like whenever you look at it, you know, yes, whatever his original plan was, I say we should go with that, regardless of the consequences, okay? But I don't think that we should just willy-nilly, if he outlined, like, if it fits in the expanded universe, just keep the expanded universe.
Of course.
I know most of the stories have already been told, like, between the span of the next, like, 50 years or whatever after that. But the wild thing is, you know, like, where we're at in the expanded universe, as far as storytelling goes, would match up with the characters' ages, like, the actors' ages right now.
That's true.
And so, like, you could bring them in and do that. And so, like, I guess, the view of a lot of people who are fans of the expanded universe, like they've spent the past 20 years reading these stories and
they're invested.
They're invested in, like, they bought into Star Wars and said, I'm going to learn as much as I can about it. And I'm going to read all these stories. And so like you literally say, well, the last 20 years of your life that you spent reading these books don't mean anything.
Part of what I don't see though is I don't see J.J. Abrams or any of the other, like the screenwriters, I don't see Kathleen Kennedy or any of them sitting down and going, you know what, guys? We're basically going to take this story and write a screenplay about it, and then put that on there. Like, I don't think they want to retread anything that's already
Right.
And like, a good story is a good story. So I don't know. I'm not saying retread it.
I'm saying, like, they could technically pick up, like, right now where there are no stories. There are no expanded universe stories at this point in time as far as, like, you know, like, just pick up there. Like, there's 20 years between, you know, episode 3 and episode 4.
That's
like,
true.
Just pick up, do the same kind of thing in the opening crawl, explain what's going on, and go from there. You know, I think they could, they can respect the entire lore without...
So essentially, what you're saying is, like, I mean, basically just pick up where the expanded universe has left off at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
Huh. I mean, like, I don't know. I just don't know how I feel about it. I almost think that they should do their thing, and if they can adopt anything from the expanded universe, do so. But I wouldn't...
Well, see, like, you and I are not, like, huge fans. Like, I've read a couple stories.
I just would hate to be a... I would hate to be a filmmaker and be, like, essentially tied down and bogged down with 20 years or 50 years or however long of lore that we've dealt with in the expanded universe. And that, you know, if I would hate to feel like that was holding me back from telling the story and that I wanted to tell.
I guess I understand that, but like then you just don't get into Star Wars because you already have like six other movies you've got to abide by.
That's
hundreds of years worth of lore. Plus the Clone Wars cartoons, like that's all like you just... And that at that point you say I'm not the person for Star Wars,
right? I mean, you know? That makes sense. That makes sense. You make a really valid point there. And now you know also with the new Star Wars Rebels that's coming up.
Right.
I mean, there's all sorts of stuff that's already existing.
Honestly,
you've already got enough landmines to walk around.
Exactly. You know? And I feel like you know
why not add a few more?
I feel like the people in charge, Kathleen Kennedy. Like we talked about this earlier. Like there was a photo that was released. I think it was today.
It was the first production
yesterday photo.
Yeah. It was R2-D2 and the guys.
Next to R2-D2, yes. Yeah. It's J.J. Abrams and Kathleen Kennedy standing next to R2-D2. And, like, they're all fans of the movie.
Yeah, dude. I mean, what I love about the picture is, like, they all are just, like, I mean, J.J. is obviously his geeky self, and it's just, like, they're all, like, these Star Wars nerds.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, I love the fact that we've got people that are fans of Star Wars, these super fans
making Star Wars.
Yeah, making it now.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like, you know, you think about this is an entirely different genre, but you think about Seinfeld. Once you got Larry David, he stopped writing and left, and the fans, people who love Seinfeld started writing Seinfeld. It got hilarious. It just got nuts and crazy. And I think that same kind of thing could happen here.
Right.
You know, J.J. Abrams like almost kind of like just I think took Star Trek as kind of like, well, you know, it's as close to Star Wars as I can ever get, so let me do this, you know. He will admit he was never a Star Trek fan.
Right, and they had to convince him to do it, too.
Exactly.
You know, they had to be like, no, you're the right guy for this.
Right.
You know?
And
lens flares!
And so I think, like, and honestly, like, I hope that he does it in the style of like Super 8. Like that was a great looking movie.
It seems like he was going to, because they were talking about using real film.
Yeah.
But then on the other hand, a few weeks later, IMAX, the guy, like the head of IMAX was talking about, they were in negotiations with the guys to potentially shoot some on IMAX film.
Well, I mean, that's kind of, that's not a surprise. That's kind of a given for big blockbuster movies these days.
Yeah.
That they're going to shoot some other movie on IMAX, which I love. Like, I have no problem with that. It's still film. It's not digitally shot.
Right.
It's still 70mm film. But then the rest of it apparently is going to be shot on 35mm film, just like the original four movies.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, that's
a great decision.
That's cool. Like,
that's a great decision.
Even if, like, so say you couldn't even tell the difference, just the fact that that's the case makes it cool.
Yeah.
You know?
And you know, part of me is like, the only way they could ruin the first 5 minutes of the movie is if they Jar Jar walks on or something.
Oh, man. Like, what if we open up with a shot of just Jar Jar hanging from a tree or something, and that's
or is he's like moseying on up to heroes, and then he steps on a landmine.
That's now caused an outrageous war or something like that.
That would be pretty amazing.
He's dead a long time ago. Way
though.
Before, yeah. Like I don't know what we're talking about.
I don't know. I mean, there could be time travel. I don't know.
Yeah,
JJ's done it before.
That's true. So like, oh, let's talk about like maybe the potential plots now. So like, We were thinking, okay, maybe this would be if this ended up focusing on Han and Leia's kids,
children, yeah,
it would be in the middle of the expanded universe,
right?
And so we're kind of thinking, okay, well, that's the way they're going to go, but now we're hearing like they're casting these kids that are completely new.
Yeah.
Have completely different backstories. At least that's from unless they're just faking us all out with the casting
calls.
Which
JJ likes to do.
Yeah,
JJ likes to keep things really, really secret. So, I mean, you know.
But then again,
Kathleen Kennedy has said we're going to be just as transparent as possible about some of this stuff because we know things are going to get out. So,
I don't know.
We've got these two different types of situations, PR situations.
Well, the thing is, like, you could, you know, even whenever companies are as transparent as possible, like, it's very controlled transparency. Like,
right.
They purposely let out what they want to.
Yes. It's like me saying, yes, I stole that. And you focusing on that while I've just, you know, done something worse.
Right. It's better for companies because she said, like, yes, things will get out. So it's better for them to go ahead and, like, let things get out that they want to get out rather than, you know, things that they don't want to get out. It's more likely that whenever they are in control of what's getting out, that other leaks are going to happen.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's very true. You know, and JJ is really good about keeping the important things close to the chest too. So I think the majority of the important things will be kept, and maybe some of those smaller features, those smaller details will be kind of passed out.
So here's an interesting thing that I was thinking about the other day is. So, actually, someone, I was an article I was reading. I cannot remember where it was. Posited this. This could be set in the far, 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 far future that we like, not even close to anything that has been written or the movies. And the maybe the reason that Chewbacca could be in it, if they're respecting the expanded universe, is that it's flashbacking. Like, there's flashbacks to earlier in the timeline.
That's possible, but Star Wars has never been about flashbacks.
They haven't, but J.J. Abrams is.
Yeah, and that's like I honestly hope that it's more. I mean, and honestly, if we're gonna make so many movies about Star Wars, like if we're gonna be, you know, going crazy and doing like origin stories, and we're doing a Han movie, we're doing, you know, all these different breakout movies, different film styles and storytelling techniques, I am okay with. So I'm okay with flashbacks, I guess. In this,
I think we have to be okay with like more modern. Like I feel like.
Star Wars was linear.
Star Wars was linear, but like that's just kind of like a storytelling element in the modern age that is popular.
That's true.
Whether it be a TV show like Arrow,
Lost.
Yeah. Or movies, you know, like we see flashbacks in Star Trek. It's an accepted form of storytelling. Now, I don't think it was accepted before because it was confusing, but people have figured out how to do it without confusing everyone.
Right. And so, I mean, like, I don't know. I just don't know how I would feel if, like, in the first, you know, half hour of the movie, we flashed back 14 times or something like that.
Right.
You know,
I don't know if it would be like that. It would be hilarious if during the flashback, it's the Lost, like,
yeah, the.
Yeah, you like know. Yes, you hear the exact same sounds whenever you flashback.
Be epic.
That'd be crazy.
Okay, so another thing, like if it's set way out there, and we're just flashing back to things, I mean, what are we flashing back to here?
I mean, well, you're flashing back, like, okay, so if it focuses on these two characters, you're flashing back to either after the end of the first trilogy, so after episode 6, or you're flashing back to like maybe these are like, you know, Han and Leia's grandkids or something like that, and like, you know, they're older and they start telling them about like what happened in the past or something like that, you know, who knows, but like it'll be interesting to see because they're going to have to, without, unless they do a lot of like digital comping, they're going to have to deal with the fact that these characters are old. Like, Han is old. Leia's old.
Well, see, I don't think they would necessarily pick up right where they left off, but I
mean... No, not at all.
Because, I mean, you got to at least... If these kids are, like, 23 years old, you've got to at least, like, establish 23 years.
Right.
I mean, even if they, like, you know, they were born, you know, 9 months from whenever the thing ended.
Right.
It's like, that's at least 24 years.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
What I'm looking forward to is, like, seeing Luke as a Master Jedi and seeing a more mature and maybe, like, just a crotchety old man Han. Like, still able to kick butt, but he's just like, rawr, you know, I'm Han.
And I can shoot my blaster.
Yes. I'll shoot first.
I can fry Greedo again.
Exactly.
I don't know where he came from, but it's his kids.
Yeah, so I'm really psyched about the movie. Like, you know, we'll see as we go along. I mean, it comes out in 2015, so we have a whole another year.
Yeah, I mean, if they just started production on it and they haven't even pitched like the actors yet, it's like kind of one of those things that it's really up in the air.
Weeks ago, we talked about the fact that they switched writers from Michael Arndt to now it's J.J. Abrams and Cassidy.
I'm okay with this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like
I like Arnst though. I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, it's like, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, we're going from good writers to good writers. So right. As long as nothing gets confused along the way,
as long as they don't bring in, what's his face? Who wrote the end of, Prometheus?
Lindelof?
As long as they don't bring in Lindelof, we're fine.
Yeah, if they do bring in Lindelof, I hope they don't tell us until like right before it comes out.
I hope they don't tell us at all.
Yeah, it's just he's credited at the end or something.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, it's a big, like, it's just a smiling face. His smiling face, like, gotcha!
Here's a twist!
Yeah.
You know?
Here's a crazy twist at the end.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's like, I like Lindelof. I think Lindelof is a great writer.
I just
don't know if he's right for Star Wars.
Right. I mean, I make fun of him, but like, and I think that he is given, what's interesting with him is he is given almost insurmountable problems. They're like, man, we have this problem. We're trying to, you know, write an alien prequel. What do we do? We'll bring in Lindelof.
Yeah, well, we're going to bring in the guy who can
do this. We have a problem
with
this zombie movie called World War Z. What do? Bring in Lindelof.
Yeah, like, it's too confusing. And then you bring in Lindelof.
Exactly.
You
know? Well, I mean, he's put in these no-win situations and does well.
Yeah, and he accepts them, like, you know, he accepts them. And he's just like, okay, let's do this,
right.
You know?
And the fact that his scripts are polarizing is, you know, and that's just, you know...
I mean, a lot of people's scripts are polarizing. A lot of artists and a lot of people that are, they are polarizing, you know? And while, you know, you're kind of the mind that, like, you don't like the ending of Lost, I really like the ending of Lost. I mean, it's, I don't know, you could go either way on a lot of his things, so.
Yeah, 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 you can go either way, and, you know, like it or not, he's still a good writer.
Right.
And still makes complex things more simple.
But as of the moment, he is not on the Star Wars films.
I don't know why we're talking about that
all of a
sudden.
But then again, he's actually, he's writing that, not Tomorrowland, is that what it is?
Is that Tomorrowland, who's directing, is Brad Bird directing that?
Yes.
Yes,
it's intriguing me.
Sounds awesome, yeah.
I don't know, so we'll see about that one. So that's a space thing that he's doing.
Yeah,
so.
It's interesting, you know, like, Disney seems to have a lot of, like, really good live-action movies coming out soon.
I mean, they've got all the Marvel stuff they've just collected a massive catalog of great entertainment.
Yeah, it's crazy what is under that umbrella now. We have Pixar, the best animated movies ever.
Yeah.
You know, we have Star Wars, some of the best movies ever. Marvel, some of the best, you know, superhero movies ever. So
something I'm super excited about in the Star Wars universe and that vein, I'm excited for Star Wars Rebels to premiere.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what that is. Cause you mentioned earlier about the whenever the fans kind of take over and from, you know, the guys who are the creators. And that's kind of how I felt about, the Clone Wars was they took over and like, while George was involved in that, he watched every episode and, you know, asked them questions about...
I mean, he was still in control.
Grilled them on every episode or whatever. They were left up to... Like, it was left up to them what stories they wanted to tell or how they wanted to tell these stories.
Right.
And so, like, they would have these, you know, zombie film horror elements to some of their episodes. And so it was really nice to see this Star Wars being taken over by the fans. And it just ended up really fun, is how it came across. It just... The stories that were told were just incredibly well done. And I'm looking forward to seeing them take over the Rebels.
When does that premiere? Is that next year?
It's next year.
2014?
Yeah, I want to say it's next year sometime. We will definitely take a look and do a review maybe?
Yeah, yeah, we'll do a review of the premiere. And
awesome.
Yeah. That's pretty much all I had to cover.
That's pretty much everything I had as well.
We'll be back next week with a review of Hunger Games: Catching Fire.
That's the one.
Yep. And
that's going to be super exciting. And also, we'll mention some stuff about the Xbox One as well. It'll be out by that time.
It'll be out by that time. I don't think we'll review it yet. I think we'll probably do like a review of that later on in December and the PS4 probably.
Right.
December as well.
Whenever we've got some time to actually, like, you know, sit down and
play
pair,
them both.
Play,
yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. So
maybe just combine it all into one massive review episode.
Next generation review!
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's it. Like, if you want to check us out online, stayontargetpodcast.com. You can find our YouTube, Facebook, and Twitters.
Yeah, any
there.
Of the videos we mentioned, any of the photos we mentioned, we're going to have those in the post. So make sure you check it out at stayontargetpodcast.com.
We'll see you next time on Stay on Target.